At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless you all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope that y'all doing all right and staying strong and sound in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you were baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord is with you, that he's protecting you, he's guiding you, he's comforting you. All right, all your problems and situation, the Lord fixed it. It is done. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. I just pray that your mental health gets better. All right, that you heal from your trauma, you heal from your shock, you heal from any harsh or painful experience that you've dealt with, that the Lord heals you from it. Amen. By his stripes, by his blood, you were healed. Amen. By his name, you were healed. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us thank the Lord for another day. Let us thank the Lord for food in our belly, clothes in our back, a roof over our head. Let us thank the Lord for constantly guiding us and protecting us on our journeys coming in and coming out. All right. Let us just be appreciative of more things. There's plenty of things that people complain about, but we have a lot to thank the Lord about. Amen. We touch and agree, y'all. So let us always stay in praise and worship. Let us worship in truth and spirit, y'all. Yes, 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 people. Welcome, body of Christ. Shalom, family. Greetings. What is going on with all of you? I thank you all for listening and supporting. I love you all so much. I'm praying for you all and pulling for all of you, all right? We have to uplift one another and constantly cheer on one another in this journey, in this walk, all right? We do stumble, we do fall and what have you, but we get right back up by the Lord's hand and his grace, amen. So we have to constantly uplift one another, edification, correction, and love, all right, and joyful, merry-hearted people. Let us have a merry heart and gladness while we're also serving the Lord, okay? Let us not always be grumpy or going through the motions or sluggish. Let us be active, fervent, diligent, strong, upright people, amen. We are everlasting foundation. We are everlasting generation. So let us walk like it, act like it, talk like it, amen. Let us be better examples every day. Welcome everybody, man. All tribes, all nations, all peoples, all tongues, all languages, all four corners of the earth, all faces, all races. God bless you all. Whether you are an Israelite or a Gentile, it is all right. Whether you are chosen or adopted, it is all right. Let us praise. Let us come together. Let us be united in one body of Christ. Let us always keep serving him. Amen. Let us do Father's business and Father's will for the rest of our life until his son comes back. All right. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us put our hands to the plow and keep working for the kingdom of heaven. Let us love the Lord our God for all of our mind, heart, and soul, strength, and might. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. All right. Let us always obey the gospel, obey the whole word, and know the Lord better. Let us keep seeking his face, keep doing his will, and get out of our own way. And let us help a bunch of people on the way, okay? We need to help out so many, plenty of people, man. So much people out there need the Lord. They need deliverance. They need repentance. They need baptism. They need it all. Amen. They need it all. All right. So let us constantly be generous, giving, sharing people. Amen. We need each other, people. So much going on all four corners of the earth. The body of Christ got to be united. Amen. So let us keep doing what the Lord calls to do. And let's just keep enjoying it as well. Amen. Let us do it with gladness and a joyful, merry heart. All right. So stick to the assignment, the great commission, the good works. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. All right. So in today's message, we're going to continue the Bible reading series. All right. In the last episode of the Bible reading series, we left off at the book of Luke chapter 20. So we went all the way 3 hours straight. We went all the way from the book of Luke chapter 8 all the way to Luke chapter 20, all right? So what we're going to do, we're going to finish off the book of Luke, And then from there, we'll close out with a prayer. We'll close out with a priestly blessing. And we'll also close out with giving all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So just hang in there, people. It's done. The Lord got it done. The Lord fixed it for you, okay? That thing you've been stressing, tripping about, and what's been bothering you or what have you, the Lord handled it. The Lord fixed it. Amen. So always have that faith, people. Have that faith. Mustard seed faith. Amen. All right. So let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 1. Here we go. The widow's offering. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Signs of the end of the age. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must first happen, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Yes, yes, y'all. So that's the book of Luke chapter 21 reading. All right, and as we review the book of Luke chapter 21 reading, it goes further into detail about the widow who gave all that she had when it came to offering. It goes into the signs of the end of age that we're currently dealing with right now as we speak. All right, so prophecy is being fulfilled. Amen. So let us stay strong in these times that we're in, okay? Always remember that, all right? Now, as we go to the book of Luke chapter 22. Let us continue from there, right? The book of Luke chapter 22. Here we go. Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Now the feast of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. The Last Supper. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there.'" They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves? You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me." You don't know me. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That is enough," he replied. Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus arrested. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw that was saw what was going to happen. They said, Lord, shall we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. Peter disowns Jesus. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord and had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The guards mocked Jesus. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, prophesy, who hit you? And they said many other insulting things to him. Jesus before Pilate and Herod. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. If you are the Christ, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They all asked, are you then the Son of God? He replied, you are right in saying I am. Then they said, why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. So that is the book of Luke, chapter 22 reading. All right. So as we review the book of Luke, chapter 22 reading, it shows how Judas agreed to betray Jesus. And the scripture says that Satan entered Judas. So this is crazy. Satan entered Judas. You know, there's some wild stuff. So it just shows you how intense spiritual warfare can be. And, you know, how Satan goes to and fro. You know, Satan could just could pop up anywhere. He could pop up while you're fasting and praying. He could pop up at a church. He could pop up while people are praying. He could pop up in a person's household or at a person's job. Remember, he goes to and fro. All right. So he entered Judas and allowed Judas to do the things that he did. And Jesus already knew how it was all going to play out in prophecy. So that's why he wept bitterly and prayed and cried out to the Lord and prayed on the mountain. And the angels ministered to him and comforted him and what have you, because that wasn't an easy thing to go through. OK, so Jesus is just instructing the disciples more about not lacking and trusting in him and carrying certain possessions with him, what have you. I just want to read this in commentary scripture that was within the book of Luke, chapter 22. OK. The title of it is God Made a Covenant to Save, the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. All right. So that just goes more further into detail about the Last Supper with the bread and the drink as well. Okay. Represent his body and his blood. All right. And then also Jesus gets arrested. He gets betrayed. Peter disowns Jesus. And then the guards start mocking Jesus, all right? And Jesus before these rulers, Pilate, Herod, and what have you. So the same way Jesus suffered and dealt with the things for our sins, when we live for the Lord and die for the Lord and go all out for the gospel, his namesake, we're going to deal with other things as well. You know, Jesus already said that in Matthew 24 and just within this chapter, Luke 21 as well, how we would be delivered by all types of counsels and all types of people. And Jesus told us to not worry about what to say, for this Holy Spirit will let us know what to say in that time. All right. So let us be bold, courageous, and strong in this walk with God. Let us be fearless people. The righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no one pursue. Okay. So we're going to be bold for the Lord, and we're going to be 10 toes down with this, all the way committed, firm with the gospel. Amen. So let us always represent Christ as salt of the earth, lights of the world, ambassadors of Christ. martyrs, all of that. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So what I would love to do before I get into the book of Luke chapter 23, I would love to read this commentary within Luke 22 as well. Okay, so here we go. Today's Bible reading, the book of Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Recommended reading, the book of Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. The book of Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. The book of John, chapter 18, verses 25 through 27. Also, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 6 through 18. All right. The title of this commentary is called High Noon. It's noon lunchtime. You walk into the eating area at work and overhear several coworkers blatantly and loudly mocking something that a prominent Christian has said on television. Something that the media has focused on for the last day or so. Do you try to slip out of the room, or do you engage with these individuals in conversation and stand up for your faith? Oops. Let's say you don't get that choice. Your coworkers see you. You're one of them. Verse 58, they say, "You're a Christian, aren't you? What do you have to say about what Reverend so-and-so said the other day? How can you defend that?" Now, let's add a little more pressure. What if your answer could affect the possibility of a job promotion? Or what if you feared losing the respect of your coworkers? When faced with this stress-filled opportunity to say something, would you speak up? Would you defend a Christian perspective on a contentious issue? Or would your response be something along the lines of live and let live? Before you exercise too many brain cells pondering how you'd respond to the situation, consider the Apostle Peter. Even though he was one of Jesus' close disciples, he denied knowing Christ three times. In fact, he emphatically informed people that he did not know the Lord. How could Peter have answered this way? How could he have failed to acknowledge Jesus? Peter had spent the last 3 years with Jesus as one of his closest friends. The fact of the matter is, Peter broke under pressure he was feeling. Stressed to the limit, he did exactly what he had emphatically denied he would do just a few hours earlier. And the story of his failure, combined with Jesus' redemptive act of forgiveness and restoration, stands for us as a model of what happens with us every single day of our lives. We're fortunate if we deny knowing Christ, no rooster crows to remind us of our denial. But we do have the record of Peter's wake-up call to remind us of how easy it was for even a first-century disciple to claim that he didn't know Christ, he didn't know Jesus Christ. Things to take away from the commentary. Have you ever denied, either openly or by your silence, being a follower of Christ? Why? Can you remember a time when you took a strong stand for your faith? What happened? What steps can you take to become more willing to stand up for your faith? Very excellent read right there. Great commentary. Something to truly reflect on. Let us not dig into peer pressure. Let us be firm in our faith and our beliefs. All right. Our beliefs are being challenged and tested more than ever in this evil world that we're in. So be firm and strong and bold, people. Do not fold. Do not crack. Okay. Be firm, people. Be firm. Amen. No matter if you're at work, around family, or around whatever, always be firm in your faith. Amen. Always, okay, because God is watching, God sees everything, all right? So let us be strong in the Lord and the faith, all right? So that's a commentary for the book of Luke chapter 22 reading and overall reading of Luke 22. Now let us go into the book of Luke chapter 23, all right? The book of Luke chapter 23, here we go. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes a payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priest and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted he stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. "He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into the prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. The crucifixion. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed them.' Then they will say to them, 'The mountains fall on us and to the hills cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus' death. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last breath. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Jesus' burial. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. When they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. All right, y'all. So that is the book of Luke chapter 23 reading. All right. So as we review the book of Luke chapter 23, it goes into detail about Jesus being before the rulers and the governors or what have you, Pilate and them and Herod or what have you. And he's being mocked and ridiculed, beaten up, things of that nature, all those things. And then it goes more into detail about the prisoners that was next to him. And what's so amazing about this moment is that the prisoner got tired of him being mocked. He got tired of Jesus being mocked. And he's like, hey, don't you fear God? Stop what you're doing. And then what the prisoner does, he tells Jesus, like, hey, man, please don't forget me when you get into paradise. And Jesus tells him, hey, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I just think that's very beautiful. It's crazy how Peter denied Christ three times, but this prisoner that was about to die with Jesus had his back in the heat of that moment, right next to him, suffering with him, and said, don't forget about me, you know. And that's the beauty of hard times like that. When you go through a hard, trying time, you'll be surprised who's there for you. You'll be surprised who'll look out for you. It's always the people you least expect that tend to really have your back the most, but the ones who are near and dear to you, they'll kind of fall away from you. And then also when we look at Luke chapter 23, it was actually a man, Joseph, followed the tomb and all those things, what have you. But it was women who followed after Jesus. It was women who were from a distance, kept following and seeking him. So that's why when Jesus came back, he came back to Mary and Mary Magdalene and Martha and all of them, because they were loyal and kept following Jesus even to his death and the tomb and everything. So I just think that's a very powerful thing. That's very powerful and touching, you know. And I just want to read this in commentary scripture that's within Luke chapter 23. God grants salvation. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Those are some amazing, beautiful words. You know, imagine Jesus just telling you something like that in the heat of all that moment, in the heat of all that ridicule, abuse, mockery. He tells you, hey, you're going to be in paradise with me when all this is done. I think that's just amazing and powerful. Amen. That's very amazing when you think of that. Let that sink in. Amen. And yeah, the man whose name was Joseph, he was actually a member of the council. He was actually a good and upright man. And he consented to the decision, the action. He came all the way from a Judean town. And he was actually waiting for the kingdom of God. And he asked for Jesus' body and took it down and wrapped it up in linen cloth and all those different things. And preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin. And also the women who followed Jesus along with Joseph, they all came together and went through with that and prepared for prepared with spices and perfumes. And they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So even through doing all those things, they still obeyed the Sabbath, observed it, and rested. Amen. So before we get into the book of Luke, chapter 24, what I would love to do is read two commentaries that's found within Luke 23, okay? So here we go. Today's Bible reading, the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 26 through 37. Recommended reading, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. The book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. The title of this commentary is titled, The Picture of Strength. Stick up for yourself. Don't let anyone walk all over you. Our culture respects men who defend themselves, who look opponents in the eyes and refuse to back down. When someone cuts us off on the freeway, the world expects us to retaliate with at least some kind of gesture. When a co-worker ridicules us, we're supposed to strike back with a sharper comment. And if we don't try to even the score, then people consider us soft or weak. This is as true on the playground as it is on the factory floor. It's as true on the intramural basketball court as it is in the boardroom. Jesus demonstrated a different kind of strength as he faced crucifixion and death. Despite the relentless ridicule he endured on the road to Golgotha, Jesus remained silent. Although a host of angels waited for him to call upon them to strike down his opponents, he allowed the Roman soldiers to nail him to the cross. No one took Jesus' life from him. He willingly gave it away. Still, even with Jesus' example, it seems so unnatural to allow people to ridicule us or take advantage of us. It is unnatural, but it's the way of Jesus. The picture of strength looks more like a cross than a sword, more like laying down your rights than defending them. Sometimes strength means allowing someone else to wrong you, and strength always looks like forgiveness. The next time you feel wronged, ridiculed, or exploited, remember Jesus. He willingly gave his life to pay for your sin. He suffered wrong even though he himself had committed no wrong. If you feel the need to even the score, ask yourself, how would Jesus respond? More often than not, you'll realize that being strong really means allowing yourself to be wronged or used instead of striking back. Things to take away from the commentary. How would you define true strength? Does it bother you when people ridicule or exploit you? Why or why not? When have you responded as Jesus would to someone who walked all over you? How can you ensure the same response when you face a similar situation in the future? Very interesting read regarding true strength and forgiveness and how to deal with people opposing people. And this is an everyday battle in all of our lives. Amen. We've been around all types of people who really, you know, just like, you know, you already know how that goes. And that strength of not playing into that person's hands and not taking the bait or being manipulated by your own emotions or that person's actions, that's where true strength and self-control lies in. But everybody has different patience levels, different tolerance levels. But if we are followers of God, we are followers of Jesus, you know, we have to follow examples that he set out for us, even when it doesn't even add up and make sense to you sometimes or other people around you. They're like, man, you let that slide, or how you forgive that person, or how you da-da-da-da, you know. But it's like the love of Christ in you, it gets you through all types of crazy scenarios that the average person wouldn't be able to get through or retaliate to, amen. So it's a very something to reflect on our everyday life, dealing with all types of people, okay? Now let us read, that was the first commentary about Luke 23. Now let us read the second commentary in Luke 23, okay? So here we go. Today's Bible reading, the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 through 56. Recommended reading, the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 45 through 56. The book of Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 through 41. The book of John, chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Also, the book of John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 37. All right, the title of this commentary is When the Curtain Falls. Good stories, great movies, and wonderful lives all share at least one major trait. When the credits start to roll, we're not ready for the show to end. We want the tale to go on. If the ending made us sad, we want to add another chapter. If it's a happy ending, we want to stretch it out. Either way, we don't want the curtain to fall. Perhaps this is particularly true when people die. We aren't ready to say goodbye, even when someone has enjoyed a lengthy and full life. We hate to see it end. Of all the changes we dislike in life, death offends us most with its seeming cruelty it stings. Death feels like the end, and when Jesus died on the cross, it appeared that his life had ended. Those who looked on concluded that the curtain had fallen on Jesus' life, yet Jesus demonstrated his power over death. He made his resurrection curtain call not to a wildly applauding audience, but to a grief-stricken few trying to make sense of their fear and despair. He returned to the stage not because he was expected, but because he was needed. His resurrection highlighted his life. Everything else he did and said fell into place with his final act. He also left us with an unforgettable lesson about death. Death might seem invincible, but Christ has already defeated it. His victory over death means that when we die as followers of Jesus, we too can place our spirits in the Father's hands. For the Christian, this is our comfort and hope as we stand at the casket of a close friend or loved one who also knew and trusted Christ for salvation, that we will one day enjoy their presence and companionship again in a far better place. When the curtain falls on this life, those of us who know Christ will get a curtain call in heaven. This life was just the rehearsal. Then the real drama begins, and that story will never end. Things to take away from this commentary. What would you like to say as your last words on this side of eternity? How does Jesus' death affect your view of your own death? Are you afraid of death? What steps can you take to gain a deeper sense of the rest and security you have in Jesus? All right, when the curtain falls, that's a very great commentary right there. That's a very great note just to let us know that, you know, we have to go all out for God, all right? And the way it ends the way it ends. But let us always go all out for the Lord, always, all right? There's so many people out here dying before their time, dying in crazy fatal ways and all this stuff. But for us, as we're still here alive right now, our days are numbered and we don't know when our time is up. So let us go all out for the Lord every day. Let us, the same way Christ went out serving God, that's the same way we got to go out. That love for God, that love for humanity, that love for wanting to serve God, you dying that way. I think that's really the most beautiful way to die, honestly. You know what I mean? And we have to go all out for the Lord, people. We have to. All right. We're going to be martyrs for this. We're going to be martyrs for the gospel and for his namesake. So always keep that in mind. All right. Let us go all out for the Lord. Amen. All right, y'all. So that was the two commentary readings of the book of Luke, chapter 23. Okay. Now we will continue with the book of Luke, chapter 24. Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 24. Here we go. The resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them as assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Therefore, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The Ascension. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Beautiful ending, beautiful, happy ending. Beautiful, beautiful. That is the book of Luke, chapter 24 reading. All right. And I would like to read this in commentary scripture. Jesus is the risen Lord. Luke chapter 24, verses 38 through 39. "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." So that's just amazing and beautiful right there with the book of Luke chapter 24 reading. So that was a good ending. Awesome, excellent ending. All right. So as we review Luke chapter 24, it just goes more in detail by his resurrection and him leaving the tomb, the woman looking for him, the angels appearing, everything being fulfilled. They're all walking and gathering with one another. It was the 11 disciples and others included as well, and women and Cleopas and everybody just walking and talking among themselves about what had just happened within those 3 days. And Jesus came upon them and surprised them, and they had joy and amazement. Amen. That's just amazing and beautiful. And also he ate some fish with them, hanged out with them, and then the ascension of when he went up to heaven. All right. He went up to heaven. And you know what I'm saying? So I think that's a very beautiful ending. Amen. He died for our sins. He died for our transgressions. And we serve an alive God. We serve an alive Son. Amen. He is risen. He is alive. Yes, yes. Amen. That's just way too beautiful when you really let that sink in. All right. That's just amazing, man. So there you have it. That is the whole completion of the book of Luke reading. All right. The book of Luke reading has 24 chapters in it. So that was the 24th last chapter. All right. And that's that. All right. So on the next episode of Bible reading series, we will continue onward and go into the book of John. And I'll definitely look forward to getting into the book of John. One of my favorite books in the Bible as well. All right. So I have many favorites in the Bible. I love the whole word overall. But the book of John is a very beautiful reading as well as the other gospels. Amen. So I definitely look forward to that in the upcoming episode. All right. I'm just very grateful to just share the word with you all and read it, because it's very important to stay in the word and be doers of the word and just remind ourselves of how awesome of a God we serve. Amen. And how amazing his Son is. Amen. So let us always keep in mind of that. That's what gets us through these times. the word, our faith, and his grace. Amen. His grace, his mercy, his hands, his power, his spirit is what gets us through. Amen. So let us always be mindful of that every day and remind ourselves in his word and the things he said and to do. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So there you have it. What I would love to do as I close out is give all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah, y'all. Yes, yes. So here we go. Yes, yes, y'all. He is the Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam, the Advocate, the Almighty, true, and living God, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. He's the apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potent, the blessed and only ruler, the branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, wonderful counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, the door, the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting father, the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn over all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am that I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, king eternal. He is the king of Israel. Amen. He is the king of kings. Hallelujah. He is the king of kings and Lord of lords. Hosanna, Hosanna. King of saints, king of the ages, king of the Jews, the king, the lamb of God, the lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life of the world, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord is my banner, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my portion, the Lord is my deliverer, the Lord is my redeemer, the Lord is my strength, he is my shield, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my high tower, the Lord our righteousness, hallelujah. Yes, yes, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahawashai, Yahweh ben Yahweh, Yahayashai, Yeshua HaMashiach, Barakathah, Shalom, Shalom, Yeshua Elohim, the consuming fire, Ahayashai, the father of lights, the father of mercies, the father of the fatherless, the father of widows. He is the God of heaven and earth. His son sits at the right hand of him. The government rests on his shoulders. He is the wonderful counselor. Amen. He is the great physician, can heal all things. He is the great, the awesome, amazing carpenter, can fix all things. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, y'all. We serve an awesome creator, and his son is amazing as well. Yes, yes, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the Resurrection and Life, the Resurrector. He is the life. He is the revelation, the Revelator, the righteous branch, the radiant one, the righteous one, the perfect example, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, son of the blessed, son of the Most High God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the son of righteousness, the just one, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true God, the true light, the true vine. Yes, he is the truth. Yes, he is the way. He is the way, truth, and life, the wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful counselor, the word of God, the word of life, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Elohim, the word of Yeshua HaMashiach, the word of Yahawashai, the word of Yehosha, Yahusha, Ahayashai, the word of the consuming fire. His word is true and pure like silver. Amen. We touch and agree, y'all. We serve an awesome creator, and the Son is amazing for dying for our sins. Boast in the Lord. Clap your hands. Praise him. Sing a new song. Rejoice. Dance. Praise. Worship. Just give him all the thanks, honor, and glory. Amen. Always and forevermore. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Boast in him. Yes, yes, y'all. His Son is too amazing. He is a seed of Abraham promise, the seed of Adam humanity, seed of David kingship, seed of God deity, seed of Jacob nationality, seed of Judah tribe, seed of Shem race, seed of woman prophecy. Amen. We touch and agree. In the authority and the power name of Jesus Christ, you are healed, renewed, restored, redeemed, forgiven, embraced, loved. New mind, new heart, new soul, new eyes, new tongue, new hands to prosper, new feet, new steps, new footstep, new paths, new journeys, new steps, new places, new scenery. All right, get out your comfort zone in the Lord. Let the Spirit lead you. All right, do Father's business and Father's will for the rest of your life. All right, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, let it guide you. Let it lead you to do Father's will forevermore. Do not quench the Spirit, okay? Live by the Spirit, y'all, not by the flesh. No more of the flesh, no more carnal things, amen? Strictly Spirit, not by the might, not by power, but by my Spirit, amen? Yes, yes, y'all. So there you have it, all right? That's the word for today, all right? That's the reading for today, the book of Luke, chapters 21 through 24, the completion of the book of Luke today, all right? Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So it's very important and powerful to understand what Jesus endured and went through just for our sins and transgressions. Amen. So let us live for him and give it all to the Lord and constantly work for him forever. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So there you have it. I pray to God that whoever listens to this message, I pray that you repent, get baptized, touch life for the Most High. I pray that you stop backsliding and turn from your ways. I pray that you get delivered and set free. You have liberty and freedom in Christ. And I pray that you serve the Lord. And you love the Lord with all your mind, heart, soul, strength, spirit, might, everything. And you love your neighbors as you love yourselves. You obey that gospel and you get to it, people, all right? Get to it. Help as much people as you can along your journey. Amen. Walk by faith, not by sight. Always remember that, all right? So what I would love to do as I close out is give y'all this priestly blessing on the way out. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for y'all. God bless you all. Peace.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.